Sunward Sky, Episode 2.6, Pressure. Alyssa burst through the door to the ruined bridge, breathing heavily with the concerted effort from running from Brett. Healy and Meg spun to face her, eyes wide with surprise and fear, watching as Alyssa slammed the door shut.
"Lock it,"
she gasped, and Meg leapt towards the controls that would extend the hydraulic deadbolt into the bulkhead. She hadn't even tried to lock the door yet, and she had no idea whether or not the process would still work, but she didn't get an opportunity to find out before Brett slammed into the door, kicking it open with the initial force before Alyssa's weight slammed it closed again. Meg swore.
"Healy,"
she said, but he was already moving. His lanky, jangling frame sprinted towards the edge of the bridge, where Brett was now using his greater strength to slowly claw his way around the corner. Alyssa was pushing, but she was clearly still tired from her ordeal carrying Isa earlier, and her feet slipped across the slick deck, pushing the broken parts and a first aid kit that Meg had been using to patch herself up across the floor with her foot. Healy got there and thumped his own weight against the inside of the door, jerking it back and causing Brett to cry out in pain as his hand got jammed against the bulkhead. Despite that, he kept his grip on the door and continued to leverage his strength. Alyssa and Healy pushed against the deck and kept him at bay, but he was slowly forcing more and more of his arm through the door, preventing them from shutting it completely, so that Meg could push the lock mechanism. Alyssa's strength was visibly fading. She wasn't going to be able to hold on much longer. Meg looked around the rest of the room. She took in the decks, and the broken HUD panels, and the mess of wiring, trying to see something obvious that she could use to deter him.
"Let me deal with her, Healy, you traitor,"
Brett yelled breathlessly through the door. He seemed to be holding on out of sheer spite, and though they couldn't see his eyes, Alyssa could imagine the dead violence in them, the same that she'd seen and every other time Brett had been called in to do Project Blackout's dirty work. Healy ignored Brett and grunted heavily as the door slipped again and Brett pressed his advantage once more. The majority of one of his arms was in now, as was one of his boots. A needle appeared, attached to a syringe of empty air and Meg's hand. In her other hand, she held the remains of the medkit from the floor. A scattering of bandages and other first aid items was on the floor where they'd been strewn, as Meg had searched frantically. Alyssa had been pushing against the door and hadn't noticed the noise amid all the other noises in the spacecraft. Meg brandished the syringe.
"Take your arm out, or you know where this is going,"
Brett grunted.
"You wouldn't."
For what seemed like a long time, Meg just stared at him, eyes like thunder. Brett met her gaze, looking at the woman who had been helping pilot the spacecraft when his plan had been revealed. Alyssa gasped as she continued to feel her strength leave her, and Healy grunted as he tried to redouble his efforts to make up for the waning strength of Alyssa. Meg jerked the needle, and it punched into Brett's skin. He yelped, and withdrew his arm before Meg could get to the plunger. In a matter of seconds, he was gone, running away down the hallway, as Healy slammed the door shut and Alyssa collapsed to catch her breath. Meg threw the needle in the garbage chute and pressed the door lock button. There was a hydraulic thud, then nothing. Healy pulled the door. It opened.
"Shit,"
Healy said.
"The lock's busted."
Alyssa looked up from her spot on the floor. The effort of holding the door closed and running away from Brett, combined with the sickly, limping movements of the ship, was making her feel ill again.
"Can we keep it closed some other way?"
Meg was already moving around the ruined bridge, trying to find something to hold the door at bay. Brett stumbled along, rubbing his arm where the needle had gone into it and swearing softly.
"What a bitch,"
he thought, as he made his way aft, past the mess and crew corridors, into the services area of the ship, which was located fore of the prep area for the spacewalk and the engineering bay. He kept tripping up on the way.
"This damn spinning is going to do my head in," he thought.
Luckily, the wound on his arm was minor. Meg hadn't managed to push down the plunger. It would probably still have been fine. It had gone into muscle and not vein. He would have had to be extremely unlucky for it to have caused an embolism. It would have hurt, though. He he thought as he once again braced his legs as the ship lurched. The lights flickered in the secondary corridor as he entered, and an infrared emergency strip light replaced them. The corridor was a kaleidoscope of jarring tonalities, and the horizontal through lines along the walls and ceiling were disrupted by the emergency hatches and, in one place, a gaping hole filled with a snarling mess of wires and ducting. The place was fucked. There were no takeaways about it. He felt the shift in artificial gravity from the ship spin again and paused in the middle of the empty corridor. The ship was groaning. It was tearing itself apart, and the strained sounds of metal and ceramic joints being stressed to the point of shear were ricocheting down through the ship's innards. With each ebb of the gravity, which was coming in a series of slow beat frequencies, the shaking sound of the demise of the sunward sky eked through the oxygen and made a silent cry to the space beyond. That, however, wasn't what had stopped Brett in his tracks. He was thinking about what had happened during his scuffle with Alyssa on the way to the bridge. He rubbed the flesh of his arm absentmindedly. The needle wasn't hurting, but it was like the memory of an itch, a compulsive, contemplative moment. When he'd been fighting Alyssa, the gravity hadn't shifted slowly. He'd been knocked clear of her. There had been enough of a change that she, a relatively small woman, had pushed him away and managed to escape while he'd had to regroup and reorient himself. That wasn't the feeling he was getting from the ship now. When he'd been young, he'd gone to a wave pool one time. Usually he'd needed to ration his water, hold onto it only a couple of times a week. He got two canisters at the start of each day, one to drink and one to clean with, fresh off the filtration systems of the night before. Twice a week, he'd be allowed a 3-minute shower, but his mother scolded him when he went over ration. He'd met a child at creche, and he was in a polycule who had saved to the point where they could afford to have a celebration at a wave pool upstate from him. Ashton, his name had been. He'd died a few years later, and now all Brett could remember of him was standing next to him in the wave pool, water up past his waist, and feeling the repeated press of the water. So much water. That was the feeling he was having now, standing in the corridor. When he had been attacking Alyssa, it had been like a cord snapping. A sudden jolt against the ground. Not the feeling of a wave pool, of repeated, slow presses. That was one of two things. Either something had broken from the ship, or it was a deliberate jettison. Either way, it didn't bode well. He stumbled further down the corridor and pushed himself into one of the larger maintenance rooms. It had been the place where Project Blackout had held their meetings prior to the crash. He wasn't sure how many people were still alive, but if anyone still was, they'd come here. Healy was in the bridge. The bastard. The coward. All it took was for one little girl to be nice to him, and he was right back on the Terran side. War and Elise were still in the medbay. Clark. He shook his head to clear it and sank against a wall. If it was a deliberate jettison, then the ship was in a fall and Meg was taking emergency maneuvers. If the ship was falling apart, well, he didn't want to think about that. He'd have to wait and see if something happened again. What? Alyssa said. It was flat, tired, not surprised or alarmed, just matter of fact, flat and tired. Yeah, Meg said. I don't know what it is either. She jabbed her thumb towards the ruined displays. I can only get very fundamental readings from about a third of our systems here. I know we have oxygen. I know we have fuel, but I can't tell how much of each.
So what does that mean? Healy said.
Well, we're drifting from our flight path. There are 3 more jettisons scheduled, and we've got a thruster program that should be keeping us in the sky until we can mount a proper rescue. But with this leak, it's impossible to get rid of all the variables we need to. If it's a fuel leak, the thrusters might stop working, or they might not. It depends on how bad the leak is. If it's oxygen, well, we might just have to spend a couple of days not breathing before we touch rock again.
Alyssa froze.
What? She said.
She tried to keep the concern out of her voice, but it wasn't sure if it worked. I know,
Meg said. She seemed unfazed by it, though she'd had more time to come to terms with it than Alyssa had, and she seemed to have taken on an almost zen-like calm in the aftermath of the attack by Brett. It's really not ideal.
You think?
Alyssa exclaimed. She could tell she was losing control of her emotions, but it was in a kind of detached way. The crash, the death of Isa, her own injuries and now this, it was too much. She hadn't bargained for anything like this. Her breath increased in frequency and decreased in depth. Hyperventilation. She was panicking. Healy grabbed her. Hey, look at me, he said, and pulled her out to arm's reach, holding her by the shoulders. He stood there for a minute or two, staring carefully at her until she met his eyes and her breathing slowed again. This is a bad situation, he said. But we need to find out how bad, and we need to do it now before it gets any worse, okay? He spoke clearly and calmly to Alyssa, and her face firmed up, hardening with resolve until she nodded. They both turned to Meg.
Okay, where do we need to go? Alyssa said.
Meg was prepared for them already. Okay, she said. Down the main corridor, there's a hatchway. To us, it looks like it's in the ceiling when we're under gravity. It's a service corridor to the central part of the ship. Healy, you probably know about it. He nodded. Alyssa knew too, but she didn't want to let slip the details of her midnight sojourn from before the crash.
Aye, it leads to the main stowage, Healy said.
Yes, but you're not going to go there. You'll go past it, then turn 4. There's a hydraulic section that's cordoned off from the rest of the engineering's bay by a series of bulkheads. When you go in there, there are 3 triple-sealed tanks. One is oxygen-nitrogen mix for breathing. There's a liquid hydrogen and another liquid oxygen for the fuel tanks. One of them is burst. It should be obvious which one when you get there. I can't trust any radio communication, so you'll have to leg it back here.
Alyssa nodded, head still spinning from the information. Healy looked grim.
That service corridor isn't usually accessible under gravity, though, is it?
He pressed pointedly.
Meg sighed.
No, it isn't. I'll have to put us on the float, so you'll have 20 minutes.
War's stocky form had stepped tenderly through the doorway into the maintenance room not long after Brett had settled down.
Elise had followed, watching the woman in front in case her injuries repeated on her and if her unsteady form would collapse. Brett had rushed them both in, laid them against the wall, and made them as comfortable as the maintenance office would allow. They hadn't said much. Nods and looks of quiet fury and determination had been enough to let each other know that they were still working together. Brett didn't know if anyone else in Blackout was still alive, and he didn't have any reliable way of contacting them anymore. The comms in the ship were still down. As far as he knew, it was just the 3 of them. He didn't feel a shift in the rolling tumult of the gravity straight away. The lightning load on his bones happened gradually enough that it fell from him. It was a gradual pickup of the wind in an alley, the heating of a cup of water, where it wasn't even noticeable until it was unbearable. Over the course of minutes, his body went from being rhythmically pressed into the ground to an almost bouncing quality. It wasn't until the rhythm lifted him from the floor of the office, and with all the detritus that he hadn't bothered to stow when he'd first entered shifting around him, that he realized. Before another minute had passed, gravity on the ship was gone. The spin had stopped, and there was only the lurch of the shape careening unaccelerated through space left to lend weight to those in the room. Brett grabbed a handhold and pushed himself over to where War was holding herself.
What now?
He whispered to her, as the rotating wing arrays of the ship softly clicked into place.
Go,
Meg said, and she pulled the door to the bridge open and maneuvered it out of the way to let Healy and Alyssa through. They spat out of the bridge and into the hallway, parallel to the floor. Healy in the lead, carabiners on his suit rattling as he reached out in front of himself and into the welds on the corridor, pushing himself along, accelerating a little more each time. Alyssa wasn't as skilled, but she found that she'd held her space legs a lot better than she'd thought. The constant thrum of a gravity differential had given her time to get more used to the way her body moved in changing conditions. She was falling behind, but not by much, and she caught up with him as he pivoted at the right-angled corner that led down to the spinal corridor of the ship. She found herself wishing for the level of zero-grav dexterity of the old man. As he neared the corner, he pushed almost lazily against the wall, just enough to spin himself around to meet the top corner of the corridor with his feet and cushion his deceleration. Alyssa didn't manage it. She tried to copy him, but pushed too hard, and sent herself careening head over feet towards the corner. She crashed into Healy, who, expecting her clumsiness, had braced himself softly. Carabiner smashed into the side of her body, cushioned by her vac seat, but still obvious. Healy held his ground with her weight, but only just. He pushed her off him and the top side of the wall at the end of the corridor and checked the timer on his heads-up display. "We've already lost a minute. Let's go. We're stopping about 3/4 of the way down this corridor." With that, he pushed off again, launching deftly from makeshift handholds in the corridor. Alyssa grunted in annoyance and followed him. After what seemed an almost endless amount of time, but was probably only a few seconds, Healy, rather than pulling himself down the corridor, began to tap it lightly with his hand. Once again, Alyssa nearly ran into him before realizing what he was doing. By gently touching the wall, he was introducing a new source of friction, which was slowing him down. She copied him, barely doing more than grazing the wall, and she felt her momentum slow. A few times, she felt herself start to break away in the wrong direction, but this time, instead of overcompensating, she allowed herself simply to drift over and then began the process again, on the opposite wall. Together, they came to a near halt just short of the hatch Alyssa had used to follow Project Blackout, when she'd first heard of the Scarabs. Healy turned to her. "This hatch only opens when the ship is on the float. It locks in position and provides access to the main drum. Straight through here is...
I know where it goes. Cargo bay."
Healy looked surprised but didn't ask.
"Aye, cargo bay."
He lodged a foot against a bulkhead and pulled against the opening to the hatchway. It groaned, and a deep sucking noise began to permeate the corridor. Alyssa saw Healy blanch and pull the hatchway closed. The noise stopped.
"Hard vacuum out there. There's a breach."
"What do we do?"
He took a deep breath, thinking for a moment. The timer on his helmet was backward, but Alyssa could see they were down to 17.5 minutes before the artificial gravity started again. She watched 10 more seconds count down. Time seemed to simultaneously slow down and speed up as Healy's eyes rolled up and his mouth moved, as he calculated something in his head. Then he spoke.
"All right. Size of the hole versus the amount of pressure, I think we should be able to push the thing closed from the other side. That way, we won't be leaking air we can't afford to lose while we're checking what's going on."
"Do you know how much air we'll lose in the ship if we do it?"
Healy shook his head.
"Too hard to say.
The other thing is, what will we have on the other side of the corridor to push against?"
"What do you mean?"
"Well, from here I could pull it closed fairly easily. It opens outward, so I can pull on it and use the ceiling, push against it, or use it as leverage. On the other side is a corridor. I can't tell how far the handwalls are from the entrance until it's fully open, and we'll be pushing while being sucked away from the door. I don't think it will be too much, but it will take both of us. But between positive pressure and no gravity..."
Alyssa got the picture. She took a deep breath, then felt a pang of anxiety at how few breaths she may have left if this went wrong.
"All right," she said. "Let's do it."
16 minutes ticked over in Healy's display. The two of them pushed against the nearest walls that they'd drifted to, positioning themselves on either side of the shaft. Working together, they pulled up carefully, twisting the handle. Alyssa tried to quell her hands from shaking as the knurled steel handle turned and the deep whine of evacuating air ran past her. The sides of her vac suit rustled, but wasn't the deep whooshing suck that she'd expected or read about.
was more like a strong breeze. She looked to Healy and saw a face set with grim determination.
Ready? He said. You first.
He let go of his side of the hatch and it blew fully open, leaving an empty maw for Alyssa to enter. She pulled herself around, and just like minutes ago when she'd been flying down the corridor, she pushed herself with her arms into the center of the corridor. She accelerated, and then kept accelerating. The sound of the air around her disappeared as it vanished into the vacuum, and she found herself flying far too fast down the service hatch. The Venturi effect of the air rushing into the corridor hadn't been much, but she'd misjudged and was now careening down the hallway. By the time she was getting her bearings and realized what had happened, she was already nearly 15 meters down the corridor. The handholds on either side of her were still there, so she grabbed one, but she was moving faster than she'd expected. With a wrenching thud that made her injured ribs blossom with pain, she pulled herself up in the corridor. The silence was near complete. Only a faint whisper of the evacuating air could be heard, and that was resonating through her gloves from where she was holding the ship, not through any connection with the no longer extant atmosphere outside her helmet. She looked up. Healy had come through in a far more controlled fashion than she had, but the hatch was giving him trouble. He was holding his feet against one of the footholds in the wall, but it was only just within reach, and there was nothing nearby to push against. Alyssa could see but not hear the air rushing against his vac suit, disturbing the carabiners as they silently and violently ratted around him. She began to climb back up towards the hatch, thinking frantically of what she could do. She was a good foot shorter than Healy, if not more, and she wasn't going to be able to reach the door from the foothold on the other side of the corridor, much less be able to help in any meaningful way. Healy had a slight grip on the side of the doorway, but was doing little more than providing a third point of contact for his balance. There was no way he was going to be able to close it himself. He simply stretched between the rapidly draining oxygen of the corridor and the hatchway and the cold edge of the foothold. A bridge between safety and the unknown. A bridge, Alyssa thought, and she had an idea. She kept climbing towards the hatchway, starting to feel the gentle push of the wind slowing her down. She kicked against the footholds and pulled herself along. When she got to Healy's legs, she grabbed one of them. He looked down, alarmed. Using her free hand, she gesticulated at him. He looked confused for a moment, then nodded and reached up with his second hand to get a grip of the hatch instead of trying to force it closed. When he had it, he nodded again. Alyssa reached and began to climb up Healy's body, wrapping her arms around his vac suit and grabbing on to the holds provided by the myriad carabiners that littered it. She hooked two fingers through each one and pulled, hooked, pulled, hooked, pulled. Before long, she was at his shoulders, and she maneuvered herself up to sit on them. From where she was, she could see the corridor of the ship, spreading out at 90 degrees from the services shaft she and Healy were in. Looking from the angle gave her vertigo, even though she knew intellectually there was no up in a low-G environment. It just seemed all so unlikely. She couldn't get a good grip on the hatch from that angle. Healy was too tall, too high up for her to be able to get leverage on the door. She tried to yell at him, but the air was too thin, even that far from the hatch, to sound like anything more than a muffled moan inside Healy's helmet. She leaned down, gasping in pain from her rib injury as she did so, and pressed the glass face of her helmet against his. "Kneel down!" she yelled. Healy looked perplexed. Then a light of dawning understanding glowed in his eyes. He let go of the top of the hatch as Alyssa grabbed it and knelt. With her newfound leverage, she could force the hatchway about three quarters closed. The air howled out of the now diminished gap, and she felt her elbows lock as she hit the limits of her reach. She swore. "Healy!" she yelled. "Stand up again!" Healy couldn't hear, and she couldn't bend again. Her side was burning, and her arms were about to give out if she didn't do something. She yelled again. "Stand up! Stand up!" Healy must have heard something, or looked up and seen what was happening, because in that moment he stood. The hatchway moved into place and Alyssa twisted the handle shut, feeling the seal lock into place. The howling wind died around her,
replaced by silence and the sound of her heavy breathing. She gasped and closed her eyes, letting go of the handle and letting herself drift. She was grabbed almost immediately. Healy pressed his helmet to hers. "We've got less than 11 minutes. Let's go."